sure I see numbers and see, then we can go. This is an interview today with William C. Johnson, President and Chief Executive Officer of Graham Corporation, and Lynn Fosse, Editor, CEO, CFO. First, just briefly, what attracted you to Graham, and how has it changed under your leadership?
Well, I came to Graham in November of 2004. I came out of the welding fabrication industry. And what attracted me about Graham was the fact that it was a public company that had been around for 70 years, has a unique culture, and it's a very family-run business that over the years, even though it was public, still maintains a very close feel to it. And I saw enormous opportunity with products that they had, and the markets that were coming back, particularly the petrochemical and oil refining markets. Saw a lot of opportunity for the products, and also improving the overall operation of the business.
So how have things changed since you've been there?
Well, the business itself, the markets came back very strong in the last 18 months. The world is undergoing a shortage of refining capacity. And our products, the vacuum products, mainly the ejectors and surface condensers, are required when it comes to refining of oil products to making of downstream distillates of gasoline, kerosene, jet fuels. Our products are integral to that overall process. And so with that shortage has come a tremendous demand for our products for refineries, new installations. There's also the world is forcing the industry to lower the sulfur content on these fuels, and that requires new vacuum systems as well. So the markets themselves have come back very, very strong. We've worked very hard to capitalize on that, and we've done a lot of new manufacturing so that we can increase our capacity both through the shop but also through our engineering departments and our front end of our business to be able to handle the additional requirements. We've seen a shift of our primary markets from domestic to Middle East and to Asia. A lot of growth and expansion in those markets. So we've had to move salespeople, engineering technical people to be able to capitalize on those markets.
Now, are there areas you'd like to have greater penetration in, and how do you do that?
Yeah, well, what we're doing is we are establishing a company in China that will have engineering, application design, sales, resources. We have people there now. We are working through some orders, and what we want to do is we want to grow that technical capability there. It's very important. The time difference and also the language barriers, if you have people who can speak the local languages and with your customers to do these projects. And the other area that's very important to us is the tar sands projects up in Canada, one of the biggest reserves of sour crude in the world. And as those reserves are more integral in the supply chain, Graham equipment is required for the refining of the tar sands to make the oil so that it can be transported to refineries for refining. So we'll be concentrating on putting more efforts into Canada and in Asia. And then the Middle East is the other area where most of the petrochemical work has gone, ethylene plants, mainly because of the cost of the feedstock is so much less in that part of the world than the large new installations are going in the Middle East, so we have to do that as well to put in those installations.
What's the competitive landscape like for you?
Well, it's interesting because our products are, even though they take an oil refinery, for example, and you have a multi-billion dollar oil refinery, maybe refining a couple hundred thousand barrels of oil a day, and you know, the amount of gram content in a refinery, you know, maybe $5 million, but it's really very important for the process because our vacuum equipment helps determine the yield from that barrel of oil, whether you're making gasoline, kerosene, or asphalt. So what tends to happen is that our customers come back to us because we have proven for 70 plus years that we know how to do these installations, and that, you know, when we do the calculations and we put the equipment in place, it works. And, you know, they're reluctant to switch suppliers because it's such an integral part of that yield of that refinery. So, you know, the competitors have a very difficult time growing into these channels because they don't have the installation at the point to show them how to do these types of complicated projects.
Okay. Now, are you able to bring on enough new engineers to that have the expertise or that can develop the expertise to continue on? Or how do you face the challenge, I guess is a better way to phrase that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things there. You have to attack that with not just one solution, but you have to attack that with what we've done is I think there's a certain element of automation that has to be brought to your existing processes, whether it's CAD, 3D CAD, design programs, software, all of that has to be constantly enhanced and improved on. Certainly hire people, that's a little longer term process. It can work 18 months to 2 years to really make people feel they're effective with some of our products. A third option is that you can source some of the engineering design to lower cost regions and use your application people to feed the subcontracted engineering talent. So, you know, and then you can just, the fourth thing is to really improve the overall efficiency of your existing department with guys in. You just get in and find out, you know, what your engineers are doing that somebody with a different skill set could be doing so that you can improve their throughput. We're doing all this stuff.
Okay. And you mentioned lean manufacturing. What are you doing in that area? And can you squeeze out more out of that?
Yeah, well, you know, this environment, we've done a lot of things. The first thing is that we put in a 5S program, which involves cleaning and organizing and visualizing your workplace so that you know, everything has a place and people get a sense of flow. And then once you do that, then you can start looking at your flow and develop work cells around making more efficient use of your people. And then you have, you know, as you're going through it, you're constantly looking at your inventory and your point of use inventory. Can you move it so that you know, you don't have to drive it 200 yards every time you need something? It's there when you need it. And then just looking at the overall throughput of the shop, how the product actually moves through the factory, and what we have to do to keep things continuously moving so that they don't get derailed and cause you know, the shop to kind of stop up where you can't get things before. correctly. There's those kinds of things. There's training for your welders. There's new equipment that can be brought in. Again, some automation things that can be done. We've done a lot of those kind of things in the last year, and we've come a long way.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the financial picture of Graham today.
We had it through the first three quarters of this year. Performed very well. The stock has done exceptionally well. The company has a very strong balance sheet, very strong cash position. We've been generating cash with our earnings, but also with our main manufacturing. So we put the company in a good position from a cash point of view. We see the markets continuing to be strong, and we feel that we're in a good position to continue to grow.
All right. As you grow and move into places like China, how do you maintain that unique corporate culture you talked about, and how do you sort of keep everything on track as it becomes more far-flung?
Well, I think the first thing, you have to be honest with people. Your workers, you have to let them, they have to understand what your strategy is. They have to understand how they fit into that strategy. You have to take the fear factor out of it. Their jobs, some of the jobs change, some of them will change. But people will react positively to that if they know what is expected of them. So I think we have a great culture in that it's a kind of a can-do culture. People here have done an exceptional job of building a tremendous brand and a company that they can be very proud of. All you want to do is you want to continue that, but in order for them to continue to help you, they got to understand where you're taking it and what your vision is. I think they've been very well supported last year, 2-3 months.
Okay. All right, what do you see 2-3 years down the line for Graham?
Well, certainly we want to grow the company. We're moving into different geographic channels than what we're at today. Different end users in some cases. We feel that the current trend in refining and petrochemical will remain strong for the next couple of years. So we have a good solid base to build on, and we intend to grow the company profitably and position ourselves in some of these markets where our products are going to have continued demand over the next 10 years.
Is reaching the investment community a focus for you?
Yes, I think it's important that not only do your internal people understand what you're doing, but externally you have to make sure that it's clear that where you're headed and the direction you're headed all along the way. We do need the support of our shareholders and the investment community to help us with some of this growth at some point. So I think you have to work really hard to be candid with everybody.
Okay. All right, so address potential investors. Why should they be interested in what do people often miss about Graham that they should recognize?
Well, Graham is a company that's never really had any coverage. So it really is a misunderstood company. A lot of people feel that they follow the oil industry up and down, and it really doesn't or shouldn't. What it follows is the difference between sweet crude and sour crude prices. That's what's happened, and it will continue to happen, is that as the world's reserves on sweet crude have dwindle, more sour crude is being required to replace it, and also the world demand is going up, and that's why that increased supply from sour crude. Sour crude requires Graham vacuum for processing. And so, the market drivers going forward for our products look very, very strong because, the world is not, the sweet crude reserves of the world are not increasing, they're decreasing. So, I think you have that dynamic. People that's misunderstood by the general investment community. I would say, if they understood that, it would certainly, they'd have a much, more positive outlook on our future.
Okay, so sum it up for the potential people. Why should they be looking at Graham? Let's sum up the positives for them. What should they remember after they leave the interview?
Well, Graham is a company that is a pure play with the energy sector right now, one of the few, because of its unique position within the product, for the products within the refining and petrochemical industry. There are very, very strong market drivers for going forward. You have the rising middle class in China and India, some very large economies that are going to be growing. Their need for gasoline fuels is just going to continue to expand, particularly in China, as they continue to add more and more automobiles. They're going to need more fuel for those. They're going to need more and more refining capacity. There's a strong market drivers that will continue to push for the demand for our products. And as I said earlier, it's very difficult for somebody to come along and be substituted for one of our products because we have such a long installation, such a long history with these people, most of our customers, and they trust us.
Okay. Anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't?
No, that's
all good. All right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Tommy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.